The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Hello, Thunderbolt fans. It is April 5th, 2019. I have a whole brand new show for you this week. This week's show is called Athena's Shield. But first, a word from one of our sponsors.
I used to meet women by calling them b****s on the internet comment threads. But the women I meant were always b****s. Then I found OK Stupid. OK Stupid is the matchmaking service for people who aren't that bright and want to start a family.
I was tired of drinking and vomiting and waking up to a guy posting pictures of my t*** on Twitter, so I went on OK Stupid and posted pictures of my t*** while I vomited. That's how I met Daryl.
At OK Stupid, our detailed questionnaire determines your misguided beliefs, racist opinions, and poor critical thinking. Then we match you with someone who'll probably turn abusive out of sheer inability to communicate.
Ever since meeting on OK Stupid, my old lady and I have been drinking every night and getting into fights. But she'll change.
Daryl and I have been together for almost 2 years. He'd be here now, except he's married, which isn't really a problem.
I think my girlfriend and I are ready to have children and then not vaccinate them.
It's okay to be stupid on OK Stupid.
Spell right from the start. Deep within them lies a smile that never dies. Thrill and still my heart. Then it's dropping skies I found.
Welcome to Slime City.
Del desierto de Sonora, Tucson, Arizona, Avenida Feliz para el mundo.
Hey kids, welcome to the Thunderbolt. You know, after all of my decades of collected wisdom acquired from living so unconventionally, I will now share with you some sage advice. You should never fail to not disbelieve whatever doesn't not happen next. And you should always be prepared to be unprepared. Yes, kids, Just remember those two things, and you should be able to equitably deal with whatever the universe might throw at you. For instance, already I am seeing people demonizing any protest votes people may register against the officially designated candidate that the Democrats will give us for the next election. Evidently, their theory is that we need to keep electing the same people over and over again, because those people have been doing such a bang-up job of things so far. If the Democrats don't want any protest votes, then they should stop providing us with lying corporate fascists who support endless interventionist wars and who support the NSA spying on our grandmothers and who support mass murdering women and children in the Middle East with remote-controlled flying robots. That is, if the Democrats don't want any protest votes in their next election. Yeah, well, good luck with that. And in another instance, Nancy Pelosi is criticizing Nicolas Maduro for, quote, personally profiting, unquote, from his public position. Well, over the decades, Nancy Pelosi has leveraged her relatively meager congressional salary into a multi-million dollar fortune. And in fact, the main reason Nancy Pelosi is still the leader of the House Democrats in spite of their spectacular fall from power during her reign, almost solely due to Nancy Pelosi's ability to raise large amounts of cash. At what price, though? It is beginning to appear as if humanity may not even survive the middle of this century. But if by some miracle something does come along to save us from ourselves, then we could possibly be hanging out for quite some time afterward. With medical advances, we will soon be living a lot longer than we are now, and we will be living a lot healthier than we are now. And as long as some AI quantum computer doesn't decide that it doesn't need humanity anymore and decides to get rid of us, then we're likely to continue with our explorations of the universe far into the future. However, when it comes to truly long-term survival, then I am afraid the sun gets the final say about life on Earth, for the sun is slowly getting hotter and bigger. And in about 1.1 billion years, the sun will make the Earth uninhabitable for life of any kind. And in about 3 billion years, the sun will envelop and utterly destroy the Earth completely. So on this one thing, I find myself in agreement with Elon Musk. If we want to survive truly long term, then we need to expand to other planets. And it so happens that just as I was typing the article for this Thunderbolt, the program Exploration with Michio Kaku came on the radio, and he started his show off by reporting that they have finally found an Earth-like planet in another solar system. Evidently, it's about 40 light years away. Let me know when it's time to pack my bags. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and various permutations thereof, it's time for the big event that you've all been waiting for. It's time for the Irony of the Week. So, what is the Irony of the Week this week, Mr. Thunderbolt? Our irony this week is that while Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg have arguably done more to destroy personal privacy than any other two humans in all of human history, when speaking with congressional investigators, Mr. Zuckerberg refused to reveal what hotel he had stayed at the previous night, and he refused to share his personal messages with the investigators. And now Mr. Bezos is bitterly complaining because his own privacy has been invaded by the National Enquirer, who evidently has obtained some dirty pictures of Mr. Bezos with his mistress, both of whom are married to other people. So let's cry them a river, why don't we? And as for Mark Zuckerberg, I wish someone would find some serious dirt on that dude. Facebook is now flat out deplatforming, quote unquote, a whole bunch of people. There were over 800 pages taken down at the same time during the month of October, and many others are also in their crosshairs. And rather than targeting fake news or disinformation, which is their claim, they are instead actually focusing upon anyone that puts out any information that the government does not like. Now remember, Mark Zuckerberg got his seed funding from NQTEL, which is the venture capital arm of the CIA. And Zuckerberg just loves hobnobbing with state security heavies. Facebook is focusing especially upon far left and libertarian pages, anti-war voices, and police monitoring or police accountability sites are also being targeted. In the Now is the latest alternative media outlet to be taken down by Facebook. And in this case, Facebook cooperated with CNN. They said they took the page down because In the Now failed to reveal its finances, even though many others, including CNN, evidently are not required to do this. Now, Consortium News is a peer news outlet operated by professional and respected journalists. Yet their Facebook page was also taken down. The Free Thought Project's page was taken down, even though they had millions of likes. And Truth Dig is yet another kick-ass alternative media outlet that Facebook has tried to censor. But they were forced to back down when Truth Dig reported on their own censorship, and Facebook received a serious blowback. However, Truth Dig has many tens of thousands of readers. Most other alternative media outlets, including the Thunderbolt, do not have that kind of juice. If the Thunderbolt wielded enough influence, I am sure that Facebook would take down my page as well. Even though this is still America after all, I do have the right to free speech as long as no one listens to what I say. And on a related side note, when Facebook began encouraging people to pay to boost your post, and when I refused to pay Facebook to boost my post, then engagements with my Thunderbolt Facebook page went from 50 to 60 per week to 5 or 6 per week. And in addition, a well-known political operative named Jamie Fly, a senior director of the German Marshall Fund, is evidently working with Facebook on their censorship campaign, and Mr. Fly is claiming responsibility for many of these purges. In further addition, Mr. Fly said, "We're just getting started." Now, the German Marshall Fund is a think tank, and the German Marshall Fund is one of the main pushers of Russiagate, wherein they are sending everyone chasing after the tails of ephemeral Russian straw dogs, rather than actually dealing with the actual apocalyptic reality that is staring us right in our faces. The German Marshall Fund accuses anyone who criticizes establishment Democrats of being tools of the Russians, and anyone who criticizes Israel of being anti-Semitic. And the German Marshall Fund is one of the main disseminators of hysterical propaganda concerning Jeremy Corbyn, accusing him of being both a Russian tool and anti-Semitic. Mr. Fly also thinks that the United States should militarily invade both Syria and Iran. The German Marshall Fund is a Cold War relic that was formed to foster cooperation between the United States and Europe. And the German Marshall Fund receives much of its funding from the American government, the German government, and from NATO. And so this means that government funds are literally being used now to censor people on Facebook. And this is a lot bigger than just Facebook. Jeff Bezos purchased the Washington Post at the very same time that he was inking a $600 million contract with the Central Intelligence Agency. And as with Facebook, both Google and Amazon are also basically extensions of the corporate police surveillance state. There are think tanks galore, and there are waves of right-wing neocon money flowing into their nonstop efforts to impose a reality upon the public that is not only not real, but it is literally insane. And that is why such a reprehensible caricature of a bad joke such as Donald Trump could be elected president. And now it's the time you've all been waiting for. Yes, we're gonna roll a few rockers and rock a few rollers, because the toothless old grandpa has returned from his vacation, and he's not only ready to rock and roll, but when he's done, he's ready to rock again. Yes, kids, here he is. Well, hey, Grandpa, so how's it hanging?
Well, I have been in an undisclosed location, engaged in activities about which I cannot speak.
Gee, Grandpa, it sounds like you've been working for the CIA or something.
No, actually, it was more along the lines of sun-drenched beaches, young females, and mind-altering substances.
Grandpa, you dog, you.
Son, you wimp, you.
Yeah, right. So, what do you have for us this week, Grandpa?
Well, let me grab the main microphone here. It turns out that vampires may have had it right all along. It turns out there may be scientific foundations for the perpetual youth that vampires are so famous for. For it seems that transfusions of the blood from teenagers and youth may have some serious life-extending properties. That's not all. Such transfusions may also make you much healthier as you age. And these transfusions may even cure a few conditions that had formerly been considered to be chronic.
Yesterday is gone forever, turning back the clock. In the end, all is sinful, no need to bear the pain. The end is coming soon, you can't hold on forever. Revenge your sins to me.
There's been some exciting preliminary research in mice where scientists have stitched a young mouse together with an old mouse.
This time, I am low. I know you've been betrayed.
They did it.
From men's words, I'm giving life.
So that their circulatory system were pumping the same blood. Through each other's veins. And this made the tissue stronger in the older mice. It repaired spinal cord damage. It prompted new brain cells to grow. It even makes their fur shinier. Really? Gee, I could stand to have a little more shine to my own fur these days. There are critics of this research, especially since it is being largely funded by Peter Thiel's desire to live forever. As I don't have to go around stitched to my granddaughter, and as long as I don't need to have any fangs dentally implanted into my head, and as long as I don't have to go live in Forks, Washington, with their 200 inches of rain every year, then sign me up.
Grandpa, I've got to say, you are very much what you are.
Well, thank you, son. And I've got to say that you is very much what you is.
Why, thank you. I think.
And we is going to take a station break. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. I recently came across a FaceTrack post wherein people were complaining about the homeless encampments downtown. It was all the usual trash, feces, hypodermic needles, health risks, unsightliness, and lack of human decency displayed by so many of downtown's houseless denizens. It seems to me that housed people produce trash and drugs and needles and feces and various health risks as well. So it seems to me that the problem is not that the unhoused are doing all those things. The problem is that they don't have anywhere to do all of those things. Yes, kids, people do not happen in a vacuum. Trauma produces traumatized people. A lot of those folks living in those tents have seen very little human decency in their lives. And so, yes, human decency often carries little priority with them. Our culture takes large numbers of people and puts their souls through a frigging meat grinder. And then it blames them when they come out of it all ground up. In addition, the vast majority of homeless people create no problems, and you never even see them. A lot of them have jobs. A lot of them have children. Call the Olympia School District and ask them. I'm pretty sure you'll be shocked. And even our homeless denizens that are problematic, I can guarantee you that those critics know nothing of who those people are, and they know nothing of where those folks have been, and they know nothing of the forces that created them. So I really do wish they would take their privileged white person morals and condescending personal judgments that are being made as they sit in their safe, warm homes, and whilst speaking of people who are often wet and cold and in a desperate struggle for mere survival. As far as I'm concerned, they can take those judgments and stick them somewhere that never experiences direct sunlight. Problem. Stop blaming the victims.
The Greeks are usually credited with inventing democracy. There is some debate about that, and regardless whether or not they invented it, well, they did indeed have a government with some democratic aspects to it. We must always keep in mind that Greece was yet a slave society. It was patriarchal, it was violent and warlike, it was xenophobic, and it was elitist. When it came to gods, though, the Greeks had it down. Athena, for instance, was a Greek goddess of war and macrame, two very handy skills. It was Athena, in fact, that taught spiders how to weave their webs. I'll bet you didn't know that. Athena also happens to be my personal favorite when it comes to deities. Athena came from a very illustrious family. She was the daughter of Zeus himself, for instance. And amongst her many siblings were people such as Aphrodite, Apollo, Dionysus, and even Helen of Troy. Gee, I wonder what their dinner conversations were like. Athena also tended to provide her divine support to heroes who were engaged in just and noble causes. Which is another thing I really like about her. She was also prized for her intelligence and fairness. And she was also, of course, rumored to be epically hot. Yowch! And if humans marrying Greek gods didn't
almost always end up with the human dying horribly or suffering some insane torture for the rest of eternity, that I might be trying to track down Athena's phone number. In fact, I should definitely be careful about what I wish for, though. Because Athena was also fully capable of unleashing some pretty serious violence. However, here's the thing. Athena's violence was never gratuitous. She always deployed violence very strategically, and she always applied it with very strict discipline. Athena's favorite weapon was, in fact, her shield. In addition to her many other extraordinary siblings, Athena also had a brother named Ares. And Ares was also a god of war. However, Ares was a god of a much different sort than his sister. For Ares basically represented the very embodiment of senseless mass slaughter. Ares and his sons were, in fact, a psychopathic gang of mass murderers. They were also fond of doing stuff like tying someone up under a blazing sun for eternity with ants constantly eating their face. Or something else equally reprehensible. The Ares gang was described by others as being overwhelming, insatiable in battle, destructive, and man-slaughtering. Ares' sons, Phobos, or fear, and Deimos, or terror, along with his lover Enyo, discord, usually accompanied Ares on his war chariot as they descended like rolling thunder, sowing death and destruction upon an endless multitude of hapless victims. Yes, rather than a shield, Ares' preferred weapon of choice was a battle axe. I wonder how often Ares and his sons showed up for dinner. Athena and her sidekick Heracles were constantly thwarting the Ares gang's evil plots. And Heracles totally kicked Ares' ass a couple of times. And I think that what the Greeks were trying to tell us is that we need Athena to counter Ares. The fact that Ares is a man, while Athena is a woman, I think is also significant to this analogy. Anyway, I mention all of this because I like to flatter myself by considering the Thunderbolt to be a small component of Athena's shield. And thus ends part one of the Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. Next comes part two, What Can Be Done About It? Across Cascadia, the masses are arising in response to the Olympia Action Alert!
for the week of April 6th through April 12th, 2019. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Saturday, April 6th, it's the Spring Volunteer Training Day 1. This will be from noon to 4 p.m., which if you're listening on Free Radio Olympia means it's happening right now. This is at the Providence Community Care Center at 225 State Avenue Northeast. And this event was organized by Sidewalk. People who want to volunteer to end homelessness in Thurston County are joining Sidewalk and Interfaith Works for day one of our quarterly two-day required training for all prospective volunteers. Learn about the history of social services in the United States as well as examine stereotypes around homelessness. Please RSVP for both days by contacting Kento, and you can do that by sending an email to kento@walkthurston.org. Kento is K-E-N-T-O. That's kento@walkthurston.org. Or on the phone, you can call 360-915-7306. Again, that's 915-7306. And that's the Spring Volunteer Training Day 1, Saturday, April 6th, noon to 4 p.m. at the Providence Community Care Center, 225 State Avenue Northeast. Also on Saturday, April 6th, the co-op is having a conversation about beer and wine. This will be from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Olympia Center, 222 Columbia Street Northwest. And this event was organized by the Olympia Food Co-op. Join us for a co-op conversation about the upcoming member ballot on adding beer and wine and other low alcohol beverages to the product mix. Come and ask questions, share your thoughts, learn about our financial projections and commitments to oppression awareness and responsible vendorship. Refreshments will be served. So again, this is a co-op conversation about beer and wine. Saturday, April 6th, from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Olympia Center, 222 Columbia Street Northwest. Also on Saturday, April 6th, we have a free film screening, The Trouble with Wolves. This will be from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Capitol Theater, 206 Fifth Avenue Southeast. And this event was organized by Wolfhaven International. Wolfhaven will host a free showing of the 15-minute award-winning documentary, The Trouble with Wolves, by director Colin Monda. Doors open at 3:30 p.m., the film begins at 4, and will be followed by a Q&A with Wolfhaven Executive Director Diane Gallegos. So again, this is a free film screening, The Trouble with Wolves, Saturday, April 6th. From 4 to 6 p.m. at the Capitol Theater, 206 Fifth Avenue Southeast. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Sunday, April 7th, it's the Ole Assembly Reading Group, Sci-Fi, Dystopia, and Utopia. This will be from 2 to 4 p.m. at 115 Legion Way Southeast. And this event was organized by the Olympia Assembly. People will be joining us for a reading and a discussion of two short articles by science fiction authors Kim Stanley Robinson and China Mieville on dystopias and utopias and how they shape the lens that we interpret the world through and affect our organizing. Reading group texts does not necessarily represent the Olympia Assembly. We read them for critical engagement and discussion. Suggested readings, Dystopias Now, by Kim Stanley Robinson, and The Limits of Utopia by China Mieville. So again, this is the Ole Assembly Reading Group, Sci-Fi, Dystopia, and Utopia, Sunday, April 7th,
2 to 4 p.m. at 115 Legion Way Southeast. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Monday, April 8th, it's the monthly power outage. This month, it's a seed swap. This will be from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the Power Office, 309 Fifth Avenue Southeast. And this event was organized by Power. Join us to swap seeds, starts, and ideas for gardening on a budget and on a small scale. The power outage is usually the first Monday of each month, but April's will be the second Monday, April 8th. Join us at 5:30 for potluck. Bring the whole family. There will be activities for the kids. So again, this is the power outage, a seed swap, Monday, April 8th, 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the Power Office, 309 Fifth Avenue Southeast. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Wednesday, April 10th, it's the Housing Action Team. This will be from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. at Thurston County Public Health and Social Services. That's at 412 Lily Road Southeast. And this event was organized by Thurston Thrives. The Housing Action Team is the policy and priority driving team for regional housing-related issues in Thurston County. This Thurston Thrives Action Team is attempting to respond to the lack of housing and the lack of affordable housing in Thurston County. All Housing Action Team meetings are open to the public, and we welcome a diversity of opinions and sectors. Thurston Thrives is a network that brings together our local jurisdictions, the business community, and nonprofits to find new ways of working together. So again, this is the Housing Action Team. Wednesday, April 10th, from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. at Thurston County Public Health and Social Services, 412 Lily Road, Southeast. Also on Wednesday, April 10th, we have the Jacobin Reading Group. This will be from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Orca Books. That's at 509 4th Avenue East. And this event was organized by the Olympia Democratic Socialists of America. OLEDSA hosts a Jacobin reading group that meets on the second Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m. at Orca Books. We generally discuss 3 or 4 short articles of interest to socialists published primarily through, though not exclusively, in Jacobin. Contact us at jacobin@oledsa.com for more information. All are welcome. So again, this is a Jacobin Reading Group, Wednesday, April 10th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Orca Books, 509 4th Avenue East. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Thursday, April 11th, there's a Youth Climate Rally and Day of Action. This will be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at United Churches, 110 11th Avenue Southeast. And this event was organized by Our Climate. On April 11th, join youth from around Washington State in Olympia to show our elected officials that climate change is an urgent issue and that young people are demanding action now. We'll spend the day advocating for climate justice and getting to know other passionate young people over great food, conversation, and speakers. For questions about accessibility or to request accommodations, please contact Emily Martin by calling 651-757-8775. Again, that's 651-757-8775. Or you can email emily@ourclimate.us. So again, this is a Youth Climate Rally and Day of Action, Thursday, April 11th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 110 11th Avenue Southeast. And that's it for the calendar this week. So I have a special report from Syria for you now.
Welcome to our roundtable on Syria. This week, the commander of the Saudi-backed rebel group was killed. That's good for Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and his ally, Russian President Vladimir Putin, and bad for Saudi Arabia, obviously. But what about our own national interests? We put it to our panel of experts. John Lawton from the Brookings Institute. The death of a Saudi-backed Syrian rebel leader. Is it good or bad for America?
Well, I don't have the slightest goddamned idea.
Perry Wallace, Middle East correspondent from the Washington Post. Good or bad for America?
Sorry, I zoned out on the question.
Larry Ellis, editor-in-chief at the Weekly Standard.
Damn, I was kind of counting on you not having time for me.
And that's our expert view on Syria. Tomorrow, Iran and Saudi Arabia have broken off relations. Does that change anything in particular?
Bangkok, Oriental City, and the city don't know what the city is getting. The creme de la creme of the chess world in a show with everything but Yul Brynner. Tyrolean spa had the chess bars in it. All change, don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue. It's Iceland, or the Philippines, or Hastings, or this place.
One night in Bangkok, in the world's top buster. The bars are temples, but the pulls ain't free.
Night in Bangkok from Murray Head. Before that, we had a report from Syria from the Final Edition. Please keep in mind the views expressed on this program are those of the show's host and producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. You should always never forget to not disbelieve whatever doesn't not happen next and always be prepared
Thank you very much.
To be unprepared.